Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Heaven is mentioned over 600 times in the Bible. Now, the word doesn't always refer to the same thing or the same place. Sometimes it refers to the place of authority. Sometimes it simply means something that's very high, like walls being built up to heaven. But in Matthew 5 and verse 12, Jesus says, "Great is your reward which is in heaven," and means the place of reward and the abode of the blessed. And like many other matters, the meaning is determined by the context. In the Jewish mind, there were several heavens, maybe three or four. It speaks of the air, it speaks of where the birds fly and the storms rage and the clouds form. It speaks also of space and the place of the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets. But it also speaks of a heaven where is the dwelling place of God. And the Apostle Paul refers to a third heaven, meaning the Hadean realm, the place, the unseen place of the dead. In paradise is where Jesus went when he died. But that was not the abode of the Father in heaven, because he had not yet ascended to the Father, even after his resurrection. But from the earliest biblical history, men have known that there's something better after this life. It guarantees a life beyond this one. But where? Now, our hope is not limited to just this life. Heavenly reward is still our future. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. The heaven for which we hope is a part of the good news, the gospel of Christ. We can lay up treasures in heaven that perish not, Matthew chapter 16. Now, while this is not our major theme of this lesson, as to what heaven will be like, let me answer the question about what will heaven be like by saying, it'd be like nothing that we can really adequately describe or maybe even fully understand. Literal language is simply too tame and too commonplace to be adequate to describe heaven. But we can be sure that however heaven will be, it will be to our liking. It is a place of reward. Now, there are many questions regarding heaven for which specific answers are not given to us. And because of that, we're provoked with many speculations we hear about things about heaven that the Bible doesn't reveal, and so we don't want to become dogmatic about unlearned and untaught questions. Do we immediately go to heaven upon physical death? Well, this is something about which we can be reasonably certain. And the answer is that we, that is our spirit, will go to the unseen state of the dead, the intermediate state between death and the resurrection. It's called Hades, composed of paradise or Abraham's bosom, and a place of torments where the rich man went at his death, as we read in Luke chapter 16. But one of the main questions people ask, who will and who will not go to heaven? Well, it's not left up to man to make that decision. That is, as far as deciding who will and who won't, man will decide which way he will go that will determine his destiny. If we're going to heaven, we must be born again, John 3. We must obey the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 1. And those who don't obey don't have the promise of heaven. No thieves are going to be there, Luke chapter 2. Nor those listed in 1 Corinthians 6 and the sinful practices of men, nor the unclean person, Revelation 21, the spiritually unclean, those who are not washed by the blood of the Lamb, they will not be in heaven. And Galatians 6 and Revelation 21, they all mention various categories of people in their transgressions that will not go to heaven. Now, you know, sometimes brethren are criticized with words, "Do you think you're the only ones going to heaven?" Well, we can confidently say that nobody from Scripture is promised to go there that rejects the gospel and refuses to obey it. Whosoever will may come. But the trouble is, a lot of people think that even though they don't come, they're going to go to heaven anyway. You just don't understand how people can think that the blessings of God belong to them when they won't do the will of God. Will we recognize each other in heaven? Well, we can only say that the Holy Spirit doesn't directly address this question. But recognition is strongly implied. Future life implies memory, and that connects with the former life, and therefore connects with former acquaintances. Inhabitants of the realm beyond the grave are reported as being conscious of their whereabouts. They are conversing with each other in recognition of the past. The thief requested, "Lord, remember me," in Luke chapter 23. The rich man knew Lazarus, and he knew Abraham, and Abraham knew them both. Moses and Elijah were identified at the transfiguration of Christ long after they had died. Yes, the suggestions of Scripture is that we will recognize one another in heaven. Now, we'll not suggest that we recognize one another by any physical features like we understand here in this life, heaven being a spiritual realm, and we will have a spiritual body, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, just how one spirit will recognize another spirit, I really cannot answer because the Scripture does not tell us. But we believe that God will take care of those particular matters, and we not concern ourselves with them one way or another. Paul said that he would be present with the Lord and with his Corinthian brethren. Well, doesn't that imply that he will recognize those Corinthian brethren? How would he know that they were the Corinthian brethren if he could not recognize them? The Thessalonians were taught the redeemed would be raised together. Why, that implies that there will be recognition, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. David said that he could go to his son, 2 Samuel 12. That implies that there will be recognition. And beyond this, we really can't answer some of these things because heaven is a realm that's spiritual. We live in a physical world. We indeed are both physical and spiritual, but the spiritual realm man does not fully comprehend or understand, but we can know that Almighty God does. Now, some have complained that if we do recognize others in heaven, that we would be miserable if someone we loved was not there. Well, we need to concern ourselves first with making sure we get there, and we need to do everything that we can to influence those round about us to make sure that they get there. But if we can't understand about who will and who will not always be there and the recognition, why should we concern ourselves with something where God has said it will be a place of reward, a place of beauty, a place of grandeur, a place of joy, where there will be no tears, where things will be to our liking? There are indications, of course, that there are degrees of reward and punishment. In Luke chapter 12, it speaks of many being with few stripes and some with many stripes. In Matthew chapter 12, chapter 11, it mentions the judgment being more tolerable for some than for others. Doesn't that imply that there's a degree of reward and punishment? The Bible teaches that we shall be judged according to our works. Now, our works are going to differ, and therefore we'll be rewarded differently. But we shall enjoy the joy according to our spiritual maturity and our spiritual capacity. The Apostle Paul said it would be very far better, Philippians chapter 1. So we just leave some of these questions unanswered because the Scripture doesn't give us a direct, thus saith the Lord, with respect to it. But there again, there are indications. There's reward and punishment by degree. Now, heaven is not simply a state of mind. It is a place, Jesus said, a spiritual place, to be sure. It's called a holy city in Revelation 22. It's where Christ went to prepare, and it is that to which he ascended, and it is called the Father's house, so we will believe that heaven is a real place. Now, a spiritual place may be only expressed in material terms for our understanding, like 12 foundations and gates and gems and 12,000 furlongs wide and all of that. These terms are figurative. They're like the streets of gold and it being a perfect cube. But the important thing to remember is that God is there. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and he their God. Well, heaven, it will be a place of worship, a place of beauty, of perfect happiness and security. The fact that it is mentioned that there is a temple there implies that heaven will be a place of worship. There'll be a place of no sin, no pain, no death, no sorrow, no tears, no night is there. Revelation 21. 2 Peter chapter 3 specifies the end of this present heaven and earth, and man will have a new habitation if he is saved, a place fit for the abode of the redeemed, and it will be joyful. It will be eternal and blissful, an existence that is good and pure. Heaven is in the presence of God, therefore the fullness of joy. The psalmist said, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." If we be in heaven, we will ever be in the presence of Almighty God. Hebrews chapter 11 says that heaven is a better country, a place of security, and it shall last forever. There is no curse there, and those who are there will be identified with Almighty God. Paul wrote to the Romans and said, "Heaven is a place of glory and honor, immortality and peace and eternal life." Indeed, friend, heaven is a glorious place for which to yearn and to long. But remember, heaven is a gift from God. We could never think that we'll earn or deserve the glories of heaven. God has provided a heaven for those who will come to him through Jesus Christ, but we will never earn it, we will never merit it, we will never deserve it. Heaven is an inheritance to God's children, 1 Peter chapter 1. It's given to us, Matthew chapter 25. And to be sure, there are conditions that we must meet in order to go to heaven. We are invited by God to go to heaven. He tells us how to get to heaven. He tells us why we should long for heaven. And he showed what he has done to enable us to get to heaven, and that he has provided a Savior for us through Jesus Christ. We can go to heaven, friend. And that's the greatest ambition that the Christian has. Yes, we're blessed in this life with so many blessings that are ours in Christ, but this life is a temporary existence. We shall exist with God in heaven if we be among the saved. We can be saved if we will believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. If we will repent of our sins and confess our faith in Christ with our mouth and be baptized for the remission of sins into Christ, where all spiritual blessings are, and then when this life is over, if we have lived faithfully in the Lord, heaven will be our eternal home. Do you not desire to go to heaven? Surely you do. Then obey your Lord. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.